Hey everybody, welcome to the Wicked Funny Podcast. Make sure you stick around to the end of the episode because we have a big announcement to make. I'm your host, Brian Bowden. With me, as always, is Frank the Tank Gazero.
Hello.
And Katie, I've had some wine Arroyo.
Hello. Tonight I've had a nice sour.
Took a second there, Katie.
Listen, that's a delay.
A nice sour?
See?
What?
All right. What's so sour?
It's a sour beer. It's good.
Oh, is it a cranberry? It
looks like cherry.
Like you have a red cranberry beer.
Yeah, it's cherry. Yeah.
Cherry.
Really good.
It's also red.
We don't have any power. And we haven't had power for like an entire day. So Josh's friends are letting us crash their house, basically.
That's very, yeah, I was going to say, you're not in your normal setup. You're at a stranger's house.
Is that change freaking you out?
Very nice of them. Tell them it is a little bit. Tell them I said thank you for allowing you to go there to do this.
I will thank them.
You don't have to do it right now. Just at one point.
I'll leave right now. I'll leave right now. I'll go thank them. A lot of people don't have power, and they're not going to get it for a while.
So how long do you think before you have power?
It might be like a couple days.
Whoa.
Oh,
isn't
no.
that crazy?
Wow. That sucks.
And I'm supposed to have a Zoom show.
You guys might
I'm supposed to. Oh, we had to throw away all of our food, and we had no food in the fridge, and Josh went to the grocery store, and then he got home from the grocery store at like 4:15, and the power went out at 4:30.
That sucks.
It was like originally we just didn't open the refrigerator because I was like, listen, if the power comes on in a few hours, we'll be fine. And then it wasn't coming on. And we were like, well, we'll just see. And then it didn't come on all day. And I was like, just don't open the refrigerator because it will lose some of the coolness. And here we are. Oh, yeah.
That sucks.
That does suck.
It was a rough storm. Rough storm.
It was intense for a little while there.
It was. A tree fell in the back of my car. Like a whole fucking tree. We would have died if we were in the backyard.
Wow.
Good thing we weren't.
Wow.
It took up most of the backyard. Frank, anything fall in your house?
No, just a few branches. We have power. The lights flickered a bunch, but that's about it.
All right. Coventry got hit by a big storm. Apparently, wherever the fuck Katie lives got hit.
A lot of people got hit by a big storm. People in Connecticut.
A lot of people got hit by the big storm.
Because it was a big storm.
It was a big storm.
I mean, if it was a small storm.
It was a big storm. I have friends up and down the East Coast. So it's like when the hurricane comes in, I start seeing all my
all over
from Jacksonville posting about the storm. And then like it hits North Carolina, and like the people that I know in North Carolina start posting about it. And then it hits New York and then Connecticut. And then like I get hands on with that storm.
You're like a weatherman.
Yeah.
Just like a weatherman.
Yep, you're exactly like a weatherman.
Exactly like a weatherman.
I had no idea.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah. I had no idea that the storm was coming.
I want to be a weatherman.
You should.
You didn't even know Katie didn't know it was coming.
I didn't either.
You should always know when the storm's coming.
I didn't
know.
Kristen texted
me and was like, can you take the hammock down from out back because there's a big storm? And I was like, what?
Hammock?
And she's like, yeah, there's a storm.
You guys are living large. You have a hammock?
There's a big, huge storm. You go,
yeah. What kind of hammock do you have? I feel like it's a piece of shit.
No, she has one of the kind, like it's like a frame that sits on the ground and it, you know, it's a hammock attached to
it. Is it rusty?
No, it's
what do you do in there? Do you sit
like
in
a
it?
Hammock? Well, yeah. What do you do in that hammock? Do you use it as a
Do you guys make out?
No, it's in a backyard in full view.
I didn't ask you where
everybody.
It was. I asked if you use it as a fuck swing.
No, not at all. Not at all. Right. Our neighbor would end up talking to us because that's what he does every time somebody's outside.
Can't have that.
Speaking of storms, can we talk about the shit storm that?
Sure.
That I guess happened in the Coventry Freedom of Speech page.
Sure.
It was very kind of anticlimactic, you know?
It was. So if you listened a couple weeks ago, we talked about this troll named Saul Goodman. And Saul Goodman was a fake profile that infiltrated the real Coventry page of Freedom of Speech.
I feel like infiltrated is a strong word.
He infiltrated it by just hitting...
By saying, can I join?
He hit the join button.
So then, this person hits the joint and starts putting up like crazy racist posts. I guess he was fucking like threatening people.
It was a whole thing. I think
harassing people, like just just really pushing the buttons.
He was really antagonistic in comments, condescending.
And then
he sounded like,
they go, I will reveal myself.
He goes, I'm conducting an experiment.
Like what,
he just sounded like how. He sounded like how a guy who wears one fake diamond earring and a tie to do like a book report would sound.
That's right.
Yeah, yes. He struck me as like, you know those people you meet every now and again who are not smart, but their whole thing is they want everyone to think they're really intellectual, like they're smart people, and they're
and they're super dramatic.
But you'd meet him and you're like, and you know in your head you're like, this guy's a fucking idiot, you know?
Yeah,
he's one. I think he's one of those.
Well, Saul
people.
Goodman is a fucking idiot.
Yeah, he is. He said he was doing an experiment and gathering data, and he was gonna like present his data and reveal his identity the first week of August.
Yeah. Well, it's past the first week of August. We gave him until the date that he said. He said, I will be done July 31st, and on August 1st, I will reveal my findings.
I like that they put like a timeline on it.
There was a timeline on it, yes. I'm going to go read, because he did give me a very nice compliment.
Oh, did he?
I want to read the nice compliment. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Now, here's the thing. Like, I understand people getting upset at what this guy, because this guy was putting up some crazy shit, but we wanted to honor freedom of speech.
Uh-huh.
We wanted to honor what was said by Saul Goodman. And so I put up a post basically saying, like, hey, Saul, motherfucker, where's this data? Where's who the fuck are you? Be a man of your word. And he wrote this big, long post about nonsense. But then he goes at the end, and this is where the compliment comes in. Brian, I have to admit, you showed great restraint and tolerance by not kicking me to the curb. We fully anticipated that you would by week four, and you did not. You stood by your core principles by not deleting our posts or kicking members who were deemed, quote, troublemakers. We salute you for your convictions and moral fortitude. However, free speech is not just a phrase or a bunch of meaningless words. It is an ideology that once implemented,
I love this.
Spoken words cannot be unspoken, unheard, once uttered. We are everlasting and committed to history. And we urge everybody listening, go join the real Coventry page of Freedom of Speech and look up some of the shit Saul Goodman put up before he gets deleted, because we are about to
probably wrote like a 10-page manifesto and all you read was Brian was amazing. We commend you.
It would have been like a 5-page manifesto. He goes, it is true that myself and others have embedded ourselves into this group.
Do you think he jerked
like
off to himself?
The other group came to this group and tried.
Is that what it is? Like, I mean, how do you?
I think he jerked off to himself, Katie.
How do you embed?
I think he jerked off to himself.
I do. I think he's read that thing and he was like, oh.
I'm embedded.
Yeah, he's like, oh, I embedded myself into a public group.
But that's the thing. We gave you the freedom of speech.
I've embedded myself into the world, guys.
Saying what you've embedded.
I've embedded myself into the world. I embedded myself into my own home, guys.
Yeah.
You know, I wish that I was Saul Goodman right now.
Kind of like how that wine's embedded itself in your belly.
Yeah, this alcohol is really embedding itself into Katie.
That's right. I'm in crisis.
So. You are.
We didn't have water this morning. This is all I have.
All we have is vodka.
Is this fucking cherry.
I'm the new Frank.
Back in the olden days, they drank tons and tons of beer because water was unsafe to drink.
Wow, I'm living like old timey now. I've embedded.
Yeah. All right. Well,
fine.
Can we get back to.
I've embedded myself into a historical way of living, just like Saul Goodman. I don't have power, water. All I drink is alcohol. I don't have any common sense.
I was just thinking about what Saul does.
I love it.
So anyway, People from the old Coventry. Remember when Frank and me got kicked out of the old Coventry page of Freedom of Speech? You got kicked out too.
Kid. I can't believe they kicked me out.
That's when we created this group. People from that group. I can't believe you got kicked out either. People from that group came to this group. They officially embedded themselves in the group, tried to cause chaos. And because of that, I was talking to Frank, and we came up with, Frank,
yeah.
What are we calling it?
We're Troll Law.
We're calling it the Troll Law.
Wow, I like it.
Troll Law will now be instituted in the real Coventry page of freedom of speech. Now, the Troll Law is, if there's a troll and you meet a certain criteria,
we should make a poll.
You're gonna get kicked the fuck out of
we
the group.
We should do a... No,
there will be no poll. There's no poll. We gave Saul Goodman... Ample time. We are recording this on fucking August, whatever the fuck it is. August 4th. We're recording this, and Saul Goodman has still not been true to their word. Now, we're all about freedom of speech. Frank, if you want to have freedom of speech, you can have freedom of speech. Katie, if you want freedom of speech, you can have freedom of speech. If the person working the Saul Goodman Facebook page wants freedom of speech, exercise your freedom of speech. Saul Goodman is not a real person.
Yeah.
Saul Goodman admitted that they're not a real person.
Yeah.
So by kicking out Saul Goodman, we're not kicking anybody out of the group. We're kicking out a fake profile.
I'm gonna embed myself into the other group, and my name's gonna be Ivana Blowjob.
Whoa.
And I'm gonna do my own experiment.
And do your own experiments. See how many of those old creepy Coventry cards hit you up for blowjobs.
Hey,
pretty lady. That whole group is dudes that just say, hey, pretty lady, in the comments.
Imagine having the... How about this is the funniest part of this is that I didn't even know I was kicked out of that other group. And these people care so much that they made an experiment to join... group.
Yeah, like they've been invested in it. Yeah, it's been months. They've been.
I'm glad we gave them something to do during quarantine, though.
It was very nice of us to do.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was a good deed on our part.
Yeah,
yeah.
But now that's done. It's done, and it's unfortunate because whoever controlled that Saul Goodman account just kind of ruined it for all the other trolls.
Yeah.
Now, Frank and me want to make it clear. Go ahead, Frank. You can tell everybody.
Well, I was gonna say the biggest concern, like it's like, yeah, I don't. Obviously, nobody likes to see racist stuff or whatever shit like that posted. But I don't have a problem with people discussing stuff like that, but the problem is Facebook tracks, well, two things. One, Facebook tracks posts that get shared a lot and memes and stuff, and
I thought you're getting a little ahead. I thought you were gonna say, like, as far as trolls, if you go in there and troll, that's fine, but back it up.
Oh yeah, be
back it up. Be a real person. Be a real person.
Like, there's a couple other people who are douchey in there, but they seem to be themselves, and they
guy Justin. He's in there. Justin is in there. And this dude, like, he puts up a lot of controversial shit. And it. What's fun about our group is a lot of people in our group will see it and just be like, oh, fuck that guy. And then, you know, some people feed into it. But this guy just clearly puts up stuff to trigger. And what's funny about him is I clicked on the profile, and his profile picture has this big, beautiful beard. And then I looked at a couple other profile pictures, and I saw him without the beard. Dude, he goes from, like...
Does he need the beard?
Like, just... He goes from Sons of Anarchy to Pee-wee's Playhouse, like, without the beard. It's unbelievable.
Listen, beards are, like, makeup for men. That's a whole other topic.
They are,
but,
really
for
me, it is. It hides my double chin. Absolutely.
A lot of guys.
I think we should also explain what Saul's experiment was supposed to be.
He doesn't know.
Are we going to get...
Do you want to explain it really quick? He doesn't even know what it is.
Well, no, but for months he kept saying, like, it's almost done, guys. But his whole thing was, like, it turns out he was going
to
basically...
I think he was just trying to get kicked out, right?
Be mean to people to see if... Well, to see if Brian would boot him and to see if it would bring people together, as he put it, to fight a common foe, which is fucking insane.
So he...
But I feel like he doesn't... I think he doesn't understand.
Took seriously.
I don't think he understands
that
you guys...
Seriously, because I guess he would DM people.
Oh, really?
Us guys, what?
I don't think those guys understood that you guys didn't mean it to really be free speech. Like, you don't care about free speech in that group. Like, I think they thought that they were like, oh, they're insulting our free speech group by making their own free speech group. Now we're going to prove that it's not really about free speech. And it's like, it's not. It's just a funny group.
Yeah, it's a funny group. Yeah. We like making
it's
fun
just
of
us making fun of you. Like the, the whole group was making fun of that other group. It had nothing to do with free speech. It was just making fun of them.
We just like making fun of the common
I think that's
cards.
Funny.
So Frank and me instituted troll law. And we will now be implementing troll law in the real Coventry page of freedom of speech.
I think we should do a public poll to get people to kick them out.
No, no, we're just going to kick them out. And then
yeah, that's fine.
Direct people to this episode.
Okay.
Yeah. And we'll post troll law in the group.
Okay.
So the purpose of troll law is to weed out disruptive members who are literally just trolls.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
And it's not so much because it's wrong to stir the shit or whatever. It's because at a certain point it actually hurts the group.
Yeah, it does. It hurts the
people
group.
Won't see it in their news feed if Facebook detects too much like misinformation
nonsense.
About COVID-19
and
that.
Like I don't want people to turn off notifications from the group because Saul Goodman feels the need to compare looters to fucking monkeys.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, like that's pretty fucking racist.
Yeah.
And I can see where people can be turned off by that.
Of course.
And Saul used his freedom of speech to
honestly
to do that. We let him do it under the pretense that he would reveal who he was and what this thing was, and he didn't do it. So fuck him and fuck everybody that just wants to make everybody's life miserable. Go ahead, Katie.
I want
you
guys
to... What do you
want
to embed? You're embedding yourself in my sentence.
Yeah, I'm trying. I want you guys to kick him out just because I want to see what other fake names he comes up with to keep coming back.
Yeah, there's just the other like Better Call Saul and Breaking Bad characters.
Chip
like,
Douglas.
What other TV show?
Peter Brady.
He'll be like Michael Myers. I want to know what other TV shows he watches. Barbara Streisand.
So I asked him about the name.
Uh-huh.
Because I said, did you make the name from because of Better Call Saul? And if you did, you spelled Saul wrong, right? Uh-huh. And he said, I tried to spell it right, but the name was already taken. But then I thought, does Facebook actually work that way?
No.
There's a million people on Facebook with the same name.
Yeah, he could be Saul. So anyway,
I hope he comes back as Barbara Streisand.
So there are certain things that...
Go ahead.
Liza May.
Yeah.
Yeah. So here are things that we look at to see if you're a troll. Like, if you don't have a legitimate profile picture, and it's clearly a fake picture, or there's no other profile pictures, or,
there's no other posts.
If you have a shady-looking profile, you're going to be labeled a troll. If multiple posts get reported.
Also, if you're ugly.
That's the people...
Or
if
flat.
You're
ugly,
out.
Yes, Katie.
Especially
if you're
ugly people.
Especially ugly people.
A hot troll will get a little bit more leeway.
A hot troll goes a little further.
Yeah.
Hot female troll.
Even honestly. A hot male troll.
If multiple posts get reported to us, that's the people speaking. And if the people are speaking, they need to be heard.
And really, if something is getting reported or flagged, it's going to hurt the group.
Yeah, and it's going to hurt the group. Yeah. And ultimately, we don't want the group to get hurt because people feel the need to use it as a verbal jungle gym and say whatever the fuck
they
want.
Well, also just like, why don't you make some friends?
Yeah, sorry, keep going.
Yeah.
And really, like, if you want to see something controversial, you can do it in a way that's tactful that won't get the group shit on.
Defend what you put up. You know, put up whatever you want, but be able to defend it. Don't ruin the fun. If you're ruining the fun of the group.
Yeah.
That's it. Like, if you just put up 35 fucking posts about nonsense that you know are just going to trigger people, I have no problem getting rid of that shit now because of troll law.
Yeah.
Troll law.
It's the equivalent of, like, if there was a party and people got together to exercise freedom of speech and talk about whatever they feel like, and one guy was just in the middle of the room screaming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're like, dude, we can't fucking talk because you're screaming. Get the fuck out.
Yeah, it's
like, or, like, I don't know, post something funny. Like, be hot or post something funny. or get out.
Yeah, be hot or post something funny.
Those are the rules.
The fuck out.
I want that in the rules.
Yeah.
I'll add it as a comment.
Yeah. And troll law. I mean, what it all basically boils down to is freedom of speech does not mean freedom of consequence. And now there's going to be consequences for actions in the freedom of speech page. And you can thank whoever the fuck Saul Goodman is. For making that happen. And I want to thank Saul Goodman for making that happen. Because without him, troll law wouldn't be a thing. So thank you, Saul Goodman. And thank you to everybody that reported his posts. as we will now.
Thank you to all the other
have more
the other hot funny people.
And if you're hot and
keep
funny,
keep on keeping on.
Please can keep on keeping on. So that's all I have to say about the real Coventry page of freedom of speech. Frank, do you have anything in closing about the real Coventry page of freedom of speech? Katie, you too. Frank, you go first.
I think you pretty much covered it. Okay. I don't really have much more to say.
Once again, I just want to reiterate that I did not even notice I got kicked out of the first group. So thank you for thinking of us enough to join our group.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that page since changed its name again to We the People of Coventry, Rhode Island, and it's still as racist as ever.
Well, it's good for them.
It's good for them.
I got something funny.
Frank, not just fucking shake the whole table.
Oh no, not the table shakes again.
He just fucking diddles, and it's like I've let it go.
It gets to be too much.
At one point, I got camera shaking. Yeah, camera shaking. I got drinks that look like
we should get steady cams.
Yeah, you guys
steady cam mount thing.
You guys gotta get a gimbal.
I actually did work on it this week.
We need one.
I know.
Real shows coming up.
I'm working on it.
So, okay, you know how every week we keep talking about poop and how someone shits their pants or whatever every week?
Yeah, did it happen?
No, no. What? Did Frank just say it happened again?
Did you shit again?
You did, remember?
Yeah, you did last week.
You told me on Saturday.
Yeah, that was last week. We already talked about that.
No, you told me on Saturday.
Oh, okay.
No, I didn't shit my pants again on Saturday.
You said you shit your pants a little bit.
I think he means that other time.
To shit.
Oh, yeah.
Shut up. You shit your pants again?
I had a really wet fart, Katie. Yeah. It wasn't like a full on shit. It was just like I was going to go meet up with our boy Russ to get some dank ass delectable edibles. And on the way there, I had to pull over to
no,
my parents' house.
Stop it.
And, yeah, well, I had to make a pit stop. So I
oh
made
my
a
God.
Pit stop.
Okay. Well, so on our Instagram page for the podcast, we got a message from another podcast called Shit Talk New York City. And it is a podcast about people who like shit themselves.
Oh, so, great.
Yeah.
There's a market.
That's
for
pretty
this.
Great.
Yeah. And they were like, hey, do you guys want to trade promos or whatever? And I'm like, what is this podcast? And I was like, it's literally a podcast all about shit. And yeah.
That's
and you can follow them on Shit Talk New York City. And I was like, honestly, guys, I don't know about doing like a promo slap, but I'm definitely going to talk about the fact that we talk about shit so much that you reached out to us.
Yeah, that is
funny. That's where we're at.
Oh my God.
I want to go on the.
Well, yeah, you can.
Podcast.
We should ask them because they said, I guess. Yeah, they said that people. They said people can submit their shit stories to shittalknewyorkcity@gmail.com. And I feel like we should ask them if we can be on it. I think it would be so funny.
That would be funny. You can tell all of our shitscapades.
But isn't that so crazy? I was like sometimes you get like promo emails from other podcasts and I'm like, well, what's this one about? And I'm like, fucking shit. It's everywhere. I can't get away from it.
Oh, I fucking love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. We'll talk to them. Shout out to the Shit Talk podcast. Shout out to Russ's dank ass delectable. And let me get this out of the fucking way.
What?
I got a message from this chick, Brittany.
Okay.
Hold on. I'm trying to open up the fucking thing. So I get a message. It just says, hey, Brian, do you want to sell Pampered Chef shit? Or
somebody
like,
asked you if you wanted to sell it
party do you want to get people to come to, and I'm like, I'm not coming to your Pampered Chef fucking party. I don't have the time to do that. And they're like, what you do is ask people to come, and I'm like, my whole life revolves around me asking people to do things. Come to the show, listen to the podcast, sign up for the Patreon, leave us 5-star reviews. I'm sick of selling
also
myself.
Is now the best time to have a Pampered Chef party?
Right?
Yeah, and I don't want to go to a Pampered Chef party.
Like, what are you going to have call all the chairs 6 feet apart or whatever? Like, come on.
So if anybody wants some Pampered Chef shit, just send me a message or something. I'll send you the fucking link so Brittany can sell pans.
Stop it. So now you are doing it?
Buy overpriced things that you can get cheaper
on
Amazon.
No, I just told her. I go, look, I'll talk about you on the podcast, and I'll give me the link. And she sent me the link. And I said, if anybody wants, I'll bring it up on the podcast. That's the best I could do. I'm not showing up to a Paper Chef party. I'm not.
Like, would you go to it?
Out of there for a second.
I did for a little bit. I ain't gonna go to the Paper Chef party, brother.
Wow. I think you have to buy stuff, though.
I don't know. If anybody wants Paper Chef shit, just get a hold of me.
My ex-wife used to do Paper Chef parties.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Good.
Somebody asked me if I wanted to do like a makeup party or something, and I was like, I'm barely wearing makeup. Like, I don't need to. Thanks.
Yeah. You know, people just want to use that Brian Bowden celebrity.
Well, they saw what you did with sex toys, and they were like, ooh, yeah. Think of what you can do with Tupperware.
But you did. I guess, you know, but it was nice. We were messaging back and forth, and I'm like, look, I don't have the time to do this. I don't want to put any energy into it, and I don't want to agree to it and then not do it, and then nobody shows up.
You would have it at your house?
She brought up Caprese cheese. No, I guess it would be somewhere else. I don't fucking know, Katie. Yeah. I'm not doing it. But she said Caprese cheese. So I said, well,
there you go.
On the fucking show. So shout out to Brittany.
For listening.
And her Pampers Chef fucking shit. Yeah. All right. Let's take a quick little break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the greatest fucking TV show
ever made.
Watched. Ever made. Ever, ever made. Have a mother for me. Hey everybody, if you're looking for some laughs, make sure you come find Wicked Funny Productions. You can go to wickedfunnyproductions.com. We supply you with all of your comedy needs. We can bring a show to you anytime, anywhere, for anybody. We do charity shows, private events, roasts, bachelor parties, bachelorette parties, bar shows. You name it, we do it. I mean, two of the biggest clubs in New England, trust us. Why shouldn't you? Anybody can put on a show, but will it be Wicked Funny? To get a hold of Wicked Funny Productions, you can go to wickedfunnyproductions.com or find us on Facebook. Send us a message. Let us know where to go. All right, everybody, and welcome back to the Wicked Funny Podcast. And I last week we talked about a show. Katie brought it up. And I'm like, you know, Katie, I don't know if I'm going to watch that show. But I watched that show.
I did, too.
And Frank watched that show. And Katie, you definitely watched that show because you brought it
up. Oh, fuck yeah, I watched it.
Love on the Spectrum on Netflix
is amazing.
Dude, what a wonderful fucking show that was.
It's so pleasant. It just makes you feel good watching
it. Really
it
really does.
And it's funny, and it's just so nice.
It takes place
like,
in
when's
Australia,
the last time? Sorry.
It's about
we're on a weird delay, I think, where I start talking.
We're on a weird delay with alcohol.
No.
I don't know if it's like technology or your
it's
brain.
It's both. Because I can hear my voice on your end a little bit after I say it. So it's definitely like you start talking and then I'm already talking. And then we do this.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead.
I will describe the show.
Okay, do it.
And then you can talk. So it takes place in Australia, and it's about autistic people that try to find love, and they also have like a couple different autistic couples, and it really is a good show. You get to really dive into autism.
Yeah.
It is fascinating. It really is interesting.
It is.
Yeah.
So the basic premise of the show is you have these 18 to, I'd say, 30-year-old, maybe
something
35-year-old like autistic people, and they're just looking for love, and they go through the process, and they meet up with a coach, a relationship coach. And they go step by step on what you should do on a date, how you should act on a date.
Did you take notes?
And it's just a wonderful, wonderful show. The music is very pleasant. The people are very pleasant.
Yep.
The way that it's presented is well done and not done in like a...
Yeah, nobody's being made fun of.
Oh, God, it's such a great show. If anybody wants to give a... There's 5 episodes... And if anybody wants to give their guess on how many times I cried, this would be a good time to do that.
I feel like the whole series.
Well, at minimum 5.
I feel like you cried 9.
I did cry at every episode.
Yeah, I feel like you cried 9 times.
You say 9 times, Katie? Frank, how many times do you think I cried?
No, I don't think nine. I'm going to say six.
Right in the middle, eight.
Oh. Eight.
I think I teared up at one point. I don't remember what part, though. I didn't, like, cry, though.
Oh, you know what? I got teary-eyed.
Well, let's break this thing down.
I got teary-eyed every time the parents talked because they were so fucking sweet.
That's what did it. That's what it was. Yeah. Oh, it was when one of their dads.
The one dad. One yeah. Olivia's dad.
Oh, yeah. Because, oh.
I think
Olivia's
so, yeah.
Dad that set you up.
Yeah,
I cried.
Her dad killed me.
No.
There was another dad.
When the dad was talking about it,
he asked to be normal.
When Michael was growing up, all he said was, I
that got me too.
To be normal.
Yeah.
And like, I was yeah. like, and I've worked a lot with people with autism, so this really hit home because a lot of the kids that I work with are 18 to 21. So, what this series is basically my job, like trying to get these kids ready for the real world. And these autistic people just out here doing it, going on dates, trying to fuck.
After the first episode, I was like, I wish I could adopt Michael and just have him hang out with me all the time.
Oh, Michael is the best.
Yeah.
He's very direct, knows exactly what he wants.
He speaks like he's royalty or something.
I love it.
Deliberate in his speech.
Mm-hmm.
And at one, he's introducing the camera to his family, and he said, "That's my brother. And compared to him, I'm a double scoop of dog shit." Goes,
"My brother's an Adonis, and I am a double scoop of dog shit."
It's so great.
And I liked when Michael was going out on his first date and he's talking to his parents and he's like, "I am very much looking forward to getting married. I would love to have a wife. That would be my greatest accomplishment. This is the first step. And whoever I end up with, when the family members will go up to her after my passing and say, 'You made him the happiest he's ever been.'" And the dad's like, "Jesus, after your passing?" He goes, "Aren't you thinking a little far ahead?" He goes, "I'm always thinking far ahead, Dad. I need to go make my final preparations." And then he just fucking douses himself.
I loved when he was like...
You know what's
no,
interesting
go
about
ahead.
Him?
I loved when he was like, "Whoever my girl is, she will be like my $1 million. And I already have a ring picked out.
She will be
I have a ring picked out in the shape of a crown.
She will be my queen."
And he had all that like love romantic shit in his bedroom. Like he bought something for his future wife that he had.
Yeah.
Right? Was that him?
I guess.
He had something in his closet. He's like, "I bought this for my future wife, and I have these things on a table.
Yeah.
It's supposed to bring you luck with like romance." Mm.
And then they went on a date. Didn't work out. Well, the speed dating was funny.
That was funny.
And what's great about the dates is like he's doing the speed dating and this.
It's all autistic people.
Yeah, it's all autistic people. And this this one woman was like, "I'm 33 years old. I'm 31, whatever it is." And then Michael just goes, "Oh, you're born in 1997. That's the same year Men in Black was released." Yeah.
so good. I loved when he was talking to his sister and she's like, "Michael," like she's like, "I have dating problems too." Cause he's like, "My brother never has them." And she was like, "Yeah, but I have them." And so matter of fact, he's like, "Well, that's because all men your age, they don't care about making a commitment. They care about intercourse." And everyone's like, "Not wrong."
It was everything because it's autism. So everything is so black and white. There's no gray.
They
area.
Also
it's
weren't wrong.
Like, it's not like. Yeah, like after a date, if they went on a date and the person they were on the date with goes, "Well, did you have a good time?" There is no.
They're not trying to pad anything.
They're not trying to pad. Yeah. They're not trying to say like, "Oh, yeah, it was good. We'll do it again. You know, we'll be in touch." None of that. It's like, "I don't like you. There is no spark."
Yeah.
We can go out as friends. There
Which
no
honestly,
spark.
Though.
Yeah. And they're fine with it.
That's what every girl wants. You know what I mean? That's what every girl says. Like, every woman says that she wants that. Like, they just want to be like, "I don't want a guy that plays games. I just want to know if you're into me or not into me." But if anyone spoke to them like that after a date, they would murder them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it would not go well. You know, Michael, at times it looked like when he was with his family, yeah, he was cracking jokes because he was like making his family laugh. But then I thought, is he doing it on purpose? It seemed like he was doing it on purpose. Michael was like cracking jokes a little bit with his family, uh-huh, it seemed, and it seemed intentional. But then I thought, a big thing with people on the spectrum is they can't like anticipate or imagine what's going on in someone else's head or what.
But he said,
but you need that to tell a joke.
I don't think Michael was joking at all.
Ever?
Ever. There was no jokes coming from Michael.
I thought he was like trying to be kind of lighthearted and goofy jokes or whatever.
If it, you can tell if. No, there was no jokes from Michael. I'm trying to think of an example, and I can't. There was just no jokes from Michael. Okay. Everything he said was just very serious.
I think he's comfortable with his family laughing. Like, did you see the girl was on a date? I can't remember if it was Olivia. The girl that was an actress, but she also, like, she has, like, a physical tic almost. And this guy was like, he goes, yeah, I love to dance. And then he was dancing, but he's just a terrible dancer. And she dead ass stops and she was like, I don't like that. Are you making fun of me? And he was like, what? No, this is how I dance.
No idea. I liked how Maddie said Maddie was on a date with a boy. She's on the spectrum. He was on the spectrum and she ordered the ganache.
Yeah, you. I thought
like,
of you.
I like Maddie because she ordered.
I
ganache.
Thought of you.
And I also want to say, for the record, Maddie has a very attractive mom. I don't know if you noticed that. Oh,
babe.
Yeah, mom.
My favorite scene in the whole thing. It was, I don't remember.
Oh yeah.
The Chinese kid when he met the girl at the Chinese restaurant.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, what else do you like to do? And she goes, I like playing under competa. And he goes, competa? And they just said competa at each other over and over again.
Competa? Yeah.
Competa?
She was making competa? Fun of him.
Goes, I don't know. I don't want to be racist or anything.
No, she just couldn't say computer.
Yeah, so she just said it competa. And he's like, what the fuck does that mean?
And Alan, his name was Alan Wong. And he was great.
There's a YouTube video. There's clips of that. Netflix put up. That scene is on YouTube. You can look up competitor.
The best scene with him was when the relationship coach came over and she's giving advice and everything's very visual and it's very slow. And it's like, how do you say hello? What do you do next? If you say this and they say this, what should your response be? And it's going back and forth. And they finally get to the point where they have to do the role play. So the relationship coach, Joe, I believe her name is, Jojo.
Or Jody. I think it was Jody.
She's a delightful person.
Yeah, Jody. Jody, very delightful.
She's awesome.
Her and Alan are going to do this, they're going to do this role play. And so she walks into the room. She goes, hello, I'm Allison. Nice to meet you. And he goes, hi, I'm Alan Wong. Nice to meet you. And he puts out his hand. But then the dad's like coaching him. The dad's coaching him, you know, just, and the dad's like, okay, you know, I say, hey, how are you? How are you? You know, welcome to the restaurant. He goes, pull out the chair. He goes, pull out the chair. He goes, no, don't pull out the chair, but pull out the chair. It was great. And then they went to go get hibachi.
It was so great.
Yeah.
And God,
I loved when Chloe's dad, she was going on a date and he was like, all right, now listen, don't forget, if you get nervous or you start getting worked up, you can just go to the bathroom and you just tell them, listen, I got to powder my nose. And she goes, but I don't have nose powder. And he was like, well, you could just say that you can say that you're doing it. Yeah. And she goes, that would be a lie. And he goes, just say I'm going to the bathroom. She was like, okay. Now, what did you feel?
Everybody needs to watch this show.
What did you feel about like the hornball couples that literally they're like the best couples I've ever met?
Let's talk about the hornball couples and then we'll talk about my cry count.
Okay.
Because we could talk about this episode. We could talk about this series fucking forever.
For sure. Basically, just watch it.
Yeah. Yeah. The one thing I do want to say is Mark went on a date with a girl with she had canes.
She had cerebral palsy. Yeah.
And they went to the fucking zoo. He brought her to the zoo. And
he was like, you know what? She walked the whole way.
Yeah. Yes. I know. I've been on dates where these bitches complain about
right?
walking from the car to the fucking front door of the restaurant.
Yeah.
This bitch hobbling around a zoo
in a had a good attitude.
I watched that with Kirsten.
And had a great attitude.
She was very pleasant. I watched that with Kirsten. And at the beginning, when it introduces somebody, he'll say, like, this is Allison or whatever.
Yeah.
She likes, you know, bubble gum and toothpaste. And she doesn't like two things they don't like. But for her, with the crutches, it said she doesn't like escalators and
chased
by chickens. And Kirsten was like, those are just things people yeah. with crutches don't like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was bad.
I told Ash he could be on that show because his likes and dislikes are pretty much matched everyone's on that show.
So the two horny couples, one was this super horny couple right up front.
With the red-headed guy?
Yeah, and this dude, like, and it was great. Like, he's sitting in the backyard and he's like, I have a garden, and I figured if you have a garden, why not have a train set in the middle of it? And he's got this big, giant train set, and she's fucking...
She was guzzling milk,
and the producer, literally, he's like, she really likes milk, and without, like, deadpan, and with so much love in his eyes and his voice, he was like, yeah, that's why I gotta buy more milk. And she's guzzling it like a demon.
And there was like multiple
cartons. Yeah, there's like eight cartons.
Yeah,
she's drinking it like a monster.
And he drives a bus.
Oh, so great. I loved it.
The way he proposed to
it was so cute.
Yeah, it was kind of awesome.
We will get to that.
All right.
So that was one horny couple, and then he put on a beautiful.
They had better dates than any day I've ever been on.
Yeah. Oh, I absolutely. Every date on this show is a date that I would go on.
You
100%.
Should just use that show
honestly.
As a model for dates.
The picnic that he set up for their anniversary, like what the fuck? It was like so sweet.
Oh,
it was beautiful. Yeah,
it was nice. Right
and all they do is pay so much attention to each other. Like they're just like. Amazing.
The other horny couple was the Rubik's Cube guy named Steve or Jimmy. It was Jimmy.
I don't know.
Jimmy and Olivia, another Olivia, and or Chardonnay. Jimmy and Chardonnay.
You know what? I don't know what his name was. Anyway. Oh, Chardonnay or something.
Chardonnay.
Yeah, she was. Kind of the horn dog in that relationship.
Well, she was a super horn dog.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, I want to... She wanted to make out on camera, and he's like, no, in front of
I
the
love
camera.
That...
Yeah. And she's like, all right, in front of the fucking camera. And that's the thing, man. I tell you what, I will say this. Every special needs person you see between the ages of 15, I'd say to like 30... is the horniest person you'll ever see.
Yeah, that would make sense.
Wouldn't you say any person between 15 and 23?
No, but the problem is other people have release, and a lot of times, you know, if you're on the spectrum or you have special needs or disability, you're constantly told, like, you know, you're not supposed to, you know, you're not supposed to diddle yourself or play with yourself, or, you know, like, and like the programs that I've been in, you've actually had to tell kids, like, no, it's okay to jerk off. Just do it.
Yeah.
The door shut. Like,
yeah.
Cool. Like everybody does it. It's fine.
Just not here.
So they get super horny. Yeah. Just not here. Not at fucking Thanksgiving Day table. Just go to the fucking room. All right. Are you guys ready to get to the cry count?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Does anybody care to take a guess? I broke it down by episode.
Okay.
So the first episode, there was two
cries
that happened.
Yep.
I'm sorry. Three. There's three.
Wow.
Yeah, you came in hot though. I think
Chloe went on the date with the guy. Yeah. When Chloe went on the date with the guy that likes Asians and Mexicans.
Yeah, and she was like, "I'm not that."
That part for some reason.
That guy. Yeah. Huh.
Yeah. When the horny autistic couple got engaged on the bus.
Yeah, that was a good cry.
That's what Frank wanted to talk about. The guy drives a bus. Yeah, that was a good cry. And 33 minutes in, when Michael asked the goth-looking autistic girl out for dinner, and she said yes.
Yeah.
I got very emotional. during that part. the second episode, I cried at 1 minute and 2 seconds.
Wow.
Not that long. Like, these episodes aren't 3 hours long. So they're Brian's not, basically crying.
The whole show.
And it's just simple stuff. Just simple stuff. When Michael pulled the chair out and he also got flowers for her and he hid the flowers. I'm like, that's a good fucking move. That's not.
That is.
Do.
He's smooth.
So, and then when he just pulled the chair out, because he was just so excited to be on the date and it was great. And then at 23 minutes in, when Michael was complimenting her necklace, there's another Michael. There's a Michael that likes dinosaurs.
Mark. Oh yeah, who and smiles.
I think that's Mark.
The guy was fucking awesome. He was such
It's definitely Mark, cuz I wrote nice Mark is hot and he loves dinosaurs, and I wrote he asked a girl, he goes, "Have you visited any places on Earth?" I thought that was so great.
Have you visited any places on Earth? I liked it when he and I'm going to use this fucking move. He's like, "I really like that necklace." And he's like, "You're really lucky to have such a nice necklace like that." And then he talked about how
he's
great
so
the
cute.
Date was. And then the bill came and he goes, "So we going to split this?" Oh, <yeah. laughs> I thought that was funny.
There was some confusion. Yeah.
When Kevin Wong went on his date, I cried. Because in the episode before, he went from not knowing what to do on a date, and now he's like,
yeah,
pulling out the chair and playing fucking Smash Brothers at the table.
I didn't love the girl he went on the date with.
The fourth
but...
episode? No, she was. Yeah, no, fuck her.
Yeah.
Fuck
she didn't
her.
Know what she had sitting right next
she
to her.
She didn't.
No, you had fucking Alan Wong, bitch. Kevin Wong, whatever the fuck his name was. The fourth episode, 35 minutes in, when Olivia had her little moonlight dance.
Yeah, that was sweet.
The fifth episode, when the other
yeah, that was pretty sweet.
Engaged and that guy sang. He sang a song.
Yeah, they had to do it like on a little like at the beach, like this little like walkway area, and there was somebody playing a piano that surprised her, and then he sang a song, and then he proposed. It was very.
I was crying like a motherfucker.
He really put himself out there,
and she screamballed.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
She wept hard. Like wept hard.
Yeah.
And he wanted it to be so perfect. Like he was having such an autistic moment about the socks.
Yeah.
Yeah. He had the wrong color socks and he was like freaking out.
Yeah.
But then you find out why, because it needed to be exactly perfect.
It's like,
yeah.
I get it now. I mean, granted, if they were going to McDonald's, he would have needed the socks. So yeah, it was such a great show. I urge everybody to watch it.
Yeah.
Bring a box of tissues when you do. It was great. I'm trying to find other notable moments of the show.
Oh
my God, it was so
funny. Oh,
I really like the who's the other red-haired guy who made the Sex on the Beach?
Andrew.
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 Yeah, he's sweet.
I liked him. He was an interesting, pleasant guy. He makes amazing models.
Yeah, he does.
Connects.
I liked when Calvin was on the date with that girl that I don't love, and he goes, "You smell good," and she goes, "Yeah, it does." And his face, he was like, okay. I loved it.
It was like the first or second episode, I think Maddie, like the tall girl, went on a date with somebody who was a drummer and stuff, and somehow he started talking about porn, and then he was like, "I like Asians."
Yeah.
And then he goes,
"And I like Mexicans."
And then she was like, "Okay."
And she's like, "Oh."
That was one of the parts I cried at.
Why did you feel for her?
I also cried.
Wait,
she
cried
went
there?
To a social. Yeah, I did. She went to a social and like she met a guy at this like cosplay superhero social, and they go outside to talk.
Oh yeah, that was funny.
She's trying to have this conversation, and this guy was like, very autistic, and she's like, "So, do you like animals?" And he's like, "Yeah." And then she goes, "Do you have any animals?" And he goes, "Yes. I have a cat. I have a female cat named Marmalade."
Yeah, there's some.
Yeah, he was struggling.
He was struggling.
I loved...
And I felt so bad. There were times when Michael was freaking out and he couldn't talk to the hot chick.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, Michael, if you don't make your move, I am going to Australia.
He's losing it. I liked Chloe. When Chloe went on that date with that girl, I thought they were going to go on more dates. Like, that made me sad when they didn't go on any more dates.
Oh, that was so
sweet. Yeah.
Oh, that was real sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
my God. Sunflowers.
And then also...
God damn, what a fucking
It was great. I loved when Olivia was like, they were like, have you ever been in love? And she's like, no. And then they're like, have you ever had a crush? And she was like, yeah. And then and they were like, did your heart get broken? And she's like, what do you think? Like, she was so great.
I
loved
like
her because she was
like
so sassy. And like, she was like, she goes, you know what? I just, I thought that I would just live alone in my apartment and then die. And she's like, because statistically, that's what happens. Yeah. And I was like, she's so like cool about everything.
Very direct and very defensive,
yeah.
I noticed.
And yeah.
She's very defensive about her disability because she got diagnosed late. So all of her life, people probably just...
I'm sure she just got made fun of. Well, she said she just got made fun of.
Why are you doing that?
Yeah.
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 There was also one date when I was just like, she was on a date and she's like, I got this tick when I get excited, I can't stop moving. And she was on this date and she just couldn't stop moving. And I'm like, oh, I'm very happy.
Yeah.
So I urge everybody, get a hold of Russ's dank ass delectables, eat some edibles. And
but also, how about all these people on this show? They all got diagnosed so late. Like, the one guy, his fucking girlfriend. Yeah, but I was like, dude, come on. Like, what was happening? Like, who missed that? You know what I mean?
And that guy who's... Yeah, because he had very obvious, like, symptoms.
Yeah.
No, if you think about it, he really didn't. He's just a quiet kid.
I guess, but, like,
you know? That's all it is. He's just a quiet kid.
I don't know. Like, he was, like... I don't know. He was staring at the floor the whole time.
I mean, look at me. I didn't get diagnosed with ADHD until I was... What fucking year is it now?
Like, were you in your late 20s?
It was, like, maybe 6 years ago. Yo,
wow.
Yeah. It's like six
years
ago.
Yeah, I was
ago.
In my mid-20s,
yeah, I was like,
too.
Yeah, I was in my late 20s, early 30s when I got diagnosed.
Because I had teachers in college being like, you need to go to the doctor.
Yeah. I was getting in trouble in class having the symptoms of ADHD and getting in trouble for
Like...
You know, like the blurting out,
yeah,
restlessness.
It's just crazy to me. Like, and that one girl, she was like the one that Chloe went on the date with, and she was like, oh yeah, she goes, I didn't get diagnosed. She's like, people thought I was just acting out because my parents got a divorce, and she's like, they thought I was an asshole. And she's like I couldn't wear the socks, and they were just like, no, just you're stop being an asshole. It's so crazy. Yeah.
It was amazing.
I'm like ready for season two right now.
Oh, me too. I can't wait. Yeah. Oh, when they were doing the Where Are They Nows, I fucking lost my shit. I was a fucking bumbling, crying, pathetic mess on the couch. At one point, I think
the bus couple got married. The bus couple got married, and their wedding picture is so fucking cute. He looks like Ed Sheeran now. He grew his hair out. Yeah.
And the other guy from the other couple is. They said he was going to go to Las Vegas to enter a pool competition.
Yeah.
He's like a killer pool player.
Yeah. He's good.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
He's good. Katie, can you please read the text messages that I sent you while I watched?
Oh, yeah. He was so, first of all, you didn't even want to watch it. And I was like, you're going to love it. And literally just in the middle of nowhere, he goes, I'm 3 minutes into Love on the Spectrum and it's so funny and heartwarming and funny and I know I'm going to cry. And I go, yeah, you definitely will. And he goes, and then he'll just start sending me updates and he's like, I can't with this fucking show. First cry, 23 minutes in. And then he goes, this guy Michael is such a fucking trip. I love him. I love all of them. I want to send that girl that collects business cards. I'm losing my shit. I love everything about this. And at this point, I'm like, maybe Brian's on the spectrum. And he's like, and then he literally is like,
can you imagine how many business cards she probably has now?
So many. And then in all capital letters, he's like, this is the sweetest show I've ever fucking seen. If anyone makes fun of it, I will kill them with my bare hands.
Whoa.
And then 5 minutes later, third cry in, 33 minutes in, which means all those texts happened over a period of like 7 minutes. And then he was it was. And then he's like, the horny autistic couple is relationship goals. Which they really were. And then like it just keeps going. He's really just like, cutest show I've ever seen. I love it. And then at one point he texted me and he goes, oh my God, Michael just blanked out talking to that hot autistic chick in the bowling alley. And then he texted me again 2 minutes later and he goes, that was supposed to be for the notes, but Michael is great. I was like, yep, yeah, we know.
So there we go. Love on the spectrum.
Yeah. Brian, we've got one more love on the spectrum to talk about. Remember?
We got one more love on the spectrum to talk about.
We do.
We should have started out the episode with like, oh, we have an announcement.
Yeah,
stay
we should have
until the end.
Yeah.
We didn't. We should have.
Maybe.
Or do you just want to talk about it next time?
We can just do it next time.
No, we can just talk about it now.
What did you do, Frank?
I got engaged to my Mexican girlfriend, Kirsten.
Yeah.
Mexican girlfriend.
I can just hear the mariachi band.
That's. You know what? We can really dig into it. We'll really dig into
for
it.
For sure, but we can just... Again. We just want to...
There's a lot of questions I would like...
I think we could do a whole Patreon episode of it.
Nope. I want this to be heard.
Okay, we can hear it for free. But yeah, we just want to say congratulations.
Yeah, congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
To you and your Mexican girlfriend.
Yep.
Katie and me, will we be invited to the wedding?
Sure.
That didn't sound too positive, but we're going.
Well, no, we're not getting married anytime soon.
Do you have a date yet?
No,
do you have
no,
a date?
No.
You haven't even set a date.
No, we're not even considering it anytime
soon.
Oh,
wow. You just wanted her to...
But can Brian...
Bitch.
He's got to lock that down.
Can Brian and I officiate the wedding?
Yeah, that's another great question, Katie.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I'll have to run it by Kirsten. I can't unilaterally make that.
Yeah.
You can do it in Spanish, and I will do it in English.
We'll have two
that
ceremonies.
Way the whole family
yeah.
Knows what's going on. Will there be a piñata, Frank?
Are you okay if I close it by saying, Vaya
Maybe.
Con Dios?
Yeah. I don't know
go
what that
with
means,
God.
But sure.
Will there be
yeah.
open cerveza? Go with God. Yeah. Will there be
yeah.
mucho cerveza
Can I
being served?
Isn't that head?
Drink.
What's
a beer.
Cerveza? Does that mean head?
Can I drink. Sing the song that we sang when we went to Cancun, Mexico, where we say, una cerveza, señor, por favor.
Katie, I'll answer that for Frank.
I have a feeling at the reception
Perfect.
You can do whatever you want because we'll all probably be drunk.
Can I put the garter belt on Kirsten?
Can I take it off of her?
No. I can't really make it.
I consummate the marriage?
What was that called? The kings? It was called like King's Right or something?
Yeah, King's Right.
Or something like that. And like the king could like
That's
go
right.
to a wedding and fuck the wife or something
King's
like that.
Right.
Yeah.
Fuck for a girlfriend. Yeah, your watch.
I'll provide commentary.
It's going to be a unique reception.
It's going to
be
a wicked
be
funny
lovely.
Wedding.
But we will definitely... It's going to be a wicked funny wedding. but congratulations,
Thank you,
Frank.
I appreciate it.
And Katie, when Frank told me, there was zero...
fanfare?
What's the word I'm looking for?
I said it very matter of fact.
Oh, yeah. Frank goes, oh, I got engaged yesterday. I go, cool.
I said it like someone from Love on the Spectrum.
Yeah.
He goes, I got engaged yesterday. And I said, oh, cool. So do we got enough seats?
Oh, my God.
Backstage at a show. I'm like, do we got enough seats out there? They're like serving the food. Like,
you guys are just, you're just moving. Yeah.
But we're going to dip into this fucking... to Frank's engagement. Maybe next week we can have come in.
We can grill you guys.
Talk about it with the both of you.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that would be the best way to really dig into it.
Yeah, we can have a wedding planning. A wicked funny wedding planning.
Wicked funny wedding planning.
And that might work because she's free to
Perfect. Let's do it.
Beautiful. Next week. Beautiful. Everybody, thank you so much for listening. I want to give a shout out to Kayla Waddell, who's been sharing our shit. And you know, everybody else that's been sharing our shit. I can't think
but
of
thank
right
you.
Now. I put her in the fucking notes. Yeah, because she shared our shit right after we recorded last week, so it's right there. So there's that, and make sure you guys share, like, subscribe, leave 5-star reviews. Basically, do everything you can to help us out in the podcast.
Yeah, we appreciate it. We love you.
We do. We love you. That's it. Frank, you got anything else to say?
Nope.
Fucking little bird over there. All right.
No, I'm good.
All right, excellent. Thank you guys for listening. I'm Brian Bowden. Have a pleasant fucking day.